along this afternoon. I just got really one verse to focus on. So if you could turn with me to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy and chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and then verse 3. I'll read a couple for context, but you'll see in a minute it's just the one verse I want to dig into this afternoon. 1 Timothy and chapter 2, verse number 3. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Saviour, who will, or who desires, all men to be saved and come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. And really the focus this afternoon is going to be on verse number 5. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. So just thinking about that as an absolute statement, there is one God. There is one God. And you can forget what other religions might say. You can forget, you know, I meet a lot of people and they come from different backgrounds and maybe they just don't even believe there is a God. But the Bible makes it extremely, abundantly clear, for there is one God. And doesn't matter what religions, doesn't matter what cults might say, there is one God. And that God, as we know, is the triune God of the Bible. It's the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You know, in Isaiah chapter 44 and verse 6 in the Old Testament, it says, thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer to the Lord of hosts, or his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first, and I am the last, and beside me there is no God. So you might be thinking, oh, well, this is great. I'm just going to switch off now. This is Tom standing up here this afternoon, just giving a Christian ramble. That's it. You know, there's one God, right? Okay, that's for you, right? Oh, well, okay, like, of course, coming here to Gospel Hall, coming here on a Sunday, we expect you to say those things, right? But I want you to see this afternoon, this is a very logical statement. And this is very reasonable. You can think about this. There is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. So there is one God. And I'm not asking you to look around in nature, not looking, you know, look out the window and see there is a God, right? It's clear. The Bible says that every heart knows that God exists. You know, many just deny that God exists, but it's clear that God exists. Look at your own being. How could this be chance? How could this be chance? You know, Craig and I were down on Friday in Dumfries, and there's a boy who said he trusted science. The chances to believe that there's no God, which doesn't even make sense because he couldn't answer what happened before God, just, they're pretty much are zero. There is a God. Okay, if there is a God, then what about, how do I stand before him? If there is a God, am I not accountable to that God? So this afternoon, I just want to break down that verse. Yes, there is one God. How do I stand before the Almighty God? Well, I need a mediator. A mediator between God and men. Who is that? The man, Christ Jesus. So if we look into things and we think, right, okay, there's one God. I've got that. If we look into the truth, it's the only logical conclusion that there is one God. It's not just fluff. It's not just, well, you know, you're reading from an old book there and that's what you've, of course, yeah, you're raised a Christian. It is clear. If you're concerned about truth in this life, if you're concerned about anything, you have to come back time and time again to the absolute truth. There is one God. For there is one God. What does this mean then if God has given us a law? If God says, don't do these things and do these things, what does that mean if we break those laws? If God says, don't do it, and we've done it, we are at odds with God. He is right to judge us. We deserve punishment. And if we've broken those laws, not just the big ones, you know, well, I've never killed anyone. Well, the Lord says, if you hate in your heart, you've committed murder. If you hate your own brother in your heart, you've committed murder. I've never done adultery. But if the Lord says, if you look with lust, you've committed adultery. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So what then? The Bible is clear about this. There is one God, and he is holy, and he has to punish us for those sins. And it does not give me any joy to bring this message and say, we deserve hell. We deserve hell. And I have to talk about this because when I was 7 years old, I was in a gospel meeting similar to this. And the truth of it put the fear of God into my heart. I realised, well, you might be sitting here this afternoon and, okay, well, I know I've done wrong, right? You'd be a fool to say otherwise, right? The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. And you would be just denying yourself. If you do something wrong and it hurts, your conscience tells you, I shouldn't have done that. I shouldn't have done that. Their heart condemns us. So, okay, I've done wrong. But what after that? What does God say? When I was in that meeting, I realised the consequences for doing wrong was hell. The consequences, the just punishment. Tom Gray, even at 7 years old, had committed sin, and if he was to die then, deserved. It was right for Tom Gray to go to hell. And I don't want this just to be philosophical. I don't want this just to be a talk where it goes in one ear and out the other. Because the Bible is extremely clear. It doesn't say you will go to hell and then never mention what that is. The Bible describes hell as a place of torment. It is the worst, in fact, it is far beyond our imagination what hell will be like for those who reject Christ. It is a place of punishment, of God's wrath. God is there and he is dispensing what we deserve. He's not bad. He is not a bad judge for giving us a just punishment. If we're not in Christ, that is what we are heading towards. The Bible says, if we don't trust in Christ, we are condemned already. If you don't have faith in Christ this afternoon, you are on the road to hell. And I can't put that any other way. I can't sugarcoat it. I can't play it down. The Bible says you're either going to eternal life of enjoyment, of fulfilling your true purpose and glorifying God, or you're going to hell, a place of fire, of the very hottest furnaces forever and ever and ever and ever. And there's no sitting on the fence. It's either one or the other this afternoon. And where do you stand in your heart? Where do you stand before God, the one God? For there is one God. And God has to give us the penalty for our action. He's holy. He's not limited. Well, you know, you can. That's okay, Tom. You can believe God's like that. You can believe that God does that. You know, there might be some denominations, there might be other Christians that say, well, you know, that's not what hell's like. Oh, you know, no, that's not what the Bible says. There is one God. Not many gods. There is one God, and this is how it is. It is absolute. There's no getting around this. It is true. God is holy, and we can't just, well, God will act this way. It's not just, well, God's justice is how I understand it. No, no. God's justice is God's. God is far beyond our understanding. In fact, in Psalm 89, it says that the very foundation of God's throne is justice and judgment. Think of that. The place where God sits right now is built upon justice and judgment. He is right to give us a just reward for our sins. And I don't know where you stand before the Lord. I don't know what you think of heaven and hell. I don't know if you're just drowning me out. How, well, you know, Tom's probably got another 15 minutes. You know, maybe if I just ignore him for that long, I don't need to deal with what's in front of me. I don't need to deal with what God is saying. There is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Well, I'm going to ask you something this afternoon. Do you think yourself cleverer than God? Do you think you are smarter than God, that you can outsmart him? Right, okay, Tom, that's okay. But you know, when I start, I've heard it multiple times. And even if people don't say it, this is what they think. Well, if I stand before God, you know, I'll ask him, look at the good in my life. Oh, he'll weigh up, he'll look at this. No, I'll say this. And you know, I'm just human. I tell you, the Bible's clear in this. Your mouth will be shut and there will be no mercy. There will be no alternative. If you're outside of Christ when you die, you are on the road to hell. And you, if you die as you are right now, at this very moment, how do you think God will look at you? It's not a pretty picture painting. It is the truth. And it's true for me. It's true for every Christian here. It's true for every human ever. That if we sin, we stand before God condemned. I have to tell you that it is inescapable. I can't get around it. It's something blocking the entire view that there is one God. But that's why we need a mediator. Obviously then, if you're following me so far, you can see that you and I are pretty rotten. We stand before God wrong and we see the sin in our life. We can't stand before God in our own merit. The previous verse, though, here's what is great about the gospel. Here's what is completely beyond my reasoning. How God, who hates sin, you know, if we think it in earthly terms, right, a court, and not only the person has broken the law, they've offended the judge. And you think, right, okay, get that person, the person that's been prosecuted, get them to jail, throw away the key. They've done heinous crimes, and the law says punishment. So that's where you and I are this afternoon. But the thing is, the judge, we read in verse 4, that he desires all men to be saved and come unto the full knowledge of the truth. God knows that's what we deserve. God knows that those outside of Christ will be doomed forever, doomed to an eternity of agony and loneliness and darkness and flames. And yet, he makes a way of salvation. And if you've ever read the Old Testament, you can go through it, and time after time, God makes a way. People rebel, they turn from God to the uttermost. Almost immediately they turn to idols, they reject God and say, I want none of that. And yet God's merciful and God makes a way. He makes a way for them to turn from their wicked ways, turn from their sin. So, how do I approach God? If this afternoon it is real that there is one God, I can't get around that. It's inescapable. There is one God. I have to have a go-between, a mediator, someone to go between me and God, because I'm wrong. I'm filthy. The Bible says all of what even I consider good are filthy rags before God. How can I stand before God? For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. It's not an angel. We don't pray to saints here. We don't believe in that. It's never found in the Bible. It's never found that you go to a priest who will absolve you of your sins and declare you right. It's never found in the Bible that you go to Mary, the mother of Christ, and she'll intercede for you. It's not in a church. I'm not going to say a prayer and that's your mediator. I'm not your mediator this afternoon. I'm just telling you the truth of the gospel. If you want to come before God and be right with God, find peace with God, it is in the man, Christ Jesus. It's in him alone. The man, Christ Jesus. So how is he a mediator? How does he go between God and men? It's there. The man, Christ Jesus. God took on flesh and blood. Galatians chapter 4, verse 4 to 5 says, but when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Jesus became a man who lived a perfect life, obeyed God the Father, fulfilled the law, died in our place and rose again. You might think, okay, right, I've got the God part, I'm going along here, but surely not. I tell you, I'm not going to go down the avenue of history and how this is proven that Jesus Christ lived, died, and rose again. You know, again, the boy at Dumfries could tell you all about the world, tell you how old it was, all the different geological layers of the world, all the ages, all the carbon dating, but couldn't answer why. So, if I present this truth, a historical truth, that Jesus Christ died and rose again, why? Why did Jesus Christ, why did God become man and die? Why? Now, I asked this when I was doing a story for the kids at the Kids Zone. After Cain and Abel, I showed them the picture of a cross. And I asked, why am I showing you this? Didn't give any indication as to why. A few weeks ago now, a lassie put up her hand and said, because Jesus loved us and died in our place. That was not anything I had said. I didn't think she comes from a Christian background. But that was the answer that young lassie gave. I don't think I need to add anything more complicated to that. Jesus, God, became flesh in order to take away our punishment. That awful doom that awaits us if we're not in Christ. Jesus Christ bore the penalty of that on the cross. 2 Thessalonians 2:16 says, now our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, which has loved us and has given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace. God loved us. And verse 6, this is done. Jesus Christ, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Not only is salvation only found in Jesus Christ, it is only through faith in Jesus Christ, which is just putting trust in God, realizing, okay, well, I have done wrong. I know that's evident. Even my own conscience tells me I've done wrong. It is saying, I don't want to do wrong. I don't want to have hell at the end of my life. I don't want to be at odds with God. I don't want to be at odds with my Creator. I must find peace with God, and that is only found in trusting Christ and what he has done for you and I. What he's done for us all. He took that wrath. He took the punishment. And it's not something that we can quantify. It's not good works. It's not a small thing. If you think of the sins you've committed today, if I think of the sins I've done even just in the last few hours, if I think of all of my sin throughout all of my life, times that by however many billions of people in this world, Jesus Christ, because of his perfection, because of he was God, he took that wrath. He was the only one who was able to take that. You know, it is through faith alone. You know, there's a verse that says, the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I can put all of my trust in God, not just because, you know, I'm not up here this afternoon to scare you into being a Christian. That is far from it. These are the cold, hard facts of the gospel. These are the cold, hard facts of life. It's logical at the start, because if you go into another belief system, you'll find it's lacking. If you say, well, if it depends on good works, it'll fall through. The gospel is unique. The gospel is unique because it's the only one that is 100% true. Anything that you might find true in another religion has ended up being borrowed from the Bible. Ends up being borrowed from divine truth, which is revealed in the Bible. And if you're sitting here this afternoon, you might say, well, I'm a Christian. I'm a Christian, but I kind of doubt it. And I don't know where I stand. I don't know where I am before God this afternoon. There was a point in my life where I was the same. And to be honest with you, I didn't read or pray as I should. And you get to a point where if you're not constantly with God, if you're not constantly in a living relationship with Him, you slip and you start to doubt and you get further and further. And I thought, well, wouldn't it be good if I went to a big conference and the speaker said, well, let me hear your story, Tom. And I told him all about my testimony. He says, yeah, you're a Christian. And I would depend on that. I would think, well, I could go to some big, you know, a big name. Oh, Tom Gray goes to hear John Lennox or somebody, right? And, you know, a name like that. And they hear, eh, Tom Gray, yeah, you're probably saved, yeah. Then that would be me sorted. But I read the verse again. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. I can't go to a man for confirmation that I'm a Christian. If I want confirmation that I am alive in Christ, I go to Jesus Christ. I go to the one that says he's a great high priest. He's the one, he's the go-between. And he confirms, he declares to me that I am saved. He confirms my faith because he's my mediator. And this afternoon, just before we move on to finishing, I don't want to seem harsh in this, but this is the truth of the gospel, that there is life and death. And I don't care, I don't really care what you think about that. I don't care what I think about that. They're the absolute facts that either I leave, or say as soon as I sit down in the bench, that's it. What do I do before God? How do I respond to this message? How do I deal with the fact that, say, you're not a Christian? How do I deal with that? How do I get around that? Don't reject the Lord Jesus Christ. If you leave this hall and you're not saved, if you leave without salvation, you're actually offending God. Psalm 2 verse 12 says, kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and ye perish from the way. When his wrath is kindled but a little, blessed are all they that put their trust in him. You might have an idea of Christianity. You might have an idea over the years you've gathered that the Lord is all-loving, that Jesus Christ would never judge me. Jesus Christ, well, maybe even a figment of my imagination, but at the same time, he's a good person and can never do wrong. There are even some people who stand on pulpits and platforms like this who will say that there's no such thing as hell. There's no such thing as God's judgment, which is utterly wrong by the Bible. Utterly wrong and condemning people to hell. The Bible says that the enemies of God shall be Jesus Christ's footstool. Don't reject God's mercy. Don't reject and neglect the salvation of God this afternoon, because there will be no mercy. If you were to die right now, you think, well, that's not a real big possibility. Maybe my health is good. Maybe I'm young. Maybe I'm still raring to go. Doesn't matter, right? Life is too unpredictable for that. We can't boast of tomorrow. How do I stand before God the moment I die? What will I say to him when I stand before him? What will I do? I can't be like, oh, you're too late. That's it. There is no mercy. And you think, well, that's okay for you. I'll go and live as I want. I'll just utterly reject this. I'll swim with the tide towards eternity. You can have it all. I'll have everything the world has to offer. I'll just ignore this. I'll have the money. I'll have the power. I'll have the pleasures. I'll have everyone, the applause and acceptance of men and women. I'll have drugs. I'll have sex. I'll have all of these things because I don't care, right? I don't care. What have you got when you die? What have you got when you get to the point where it's too late and you remember the words this afternoon, which I've read? There is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. What about your soul after death? The Bible says to repent and believe the gospel. And that is my job this afternoon is to just give you that message again. Repent and believe the gospel. Turn from everything that I want in this life, because it won't satisfy me. It won't do me any good. There's a hymn that says, take the world, but give me Jesus. He's our mediator. You might have pains in this life. You might have a right ugly or hard or suffering life. But see, when you stand before God, you can plead that Jesus Christ died for me and I own him as my saviour. Is that not worth it? Is this life really that valuable that, say you're given 60 years, say you're given the next 2 days, is that worth rejecting the Son of God for an eternity of pain and wrath and torment? Or if you turn from sin and turn to the Lord Jesus Christ, you will have an eternity of peace, bliss, assurance. Because there's no fence to sit on. If you think there is one, I'd love to see where in the Bible where God has said that you can just sit in the fence, or there's some waiting room after eternity. It's not in there. You won't find it. You might find some people that say it's in there and go and join their club. But if you stick your head in the sand this afternoon, what is prepared for you is hell and the lake of fire. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. We'll just bow our heads in prayer. Our holy God and Father, we thank thee for the people here this afternoon. And Father, while it is such a thing to grasp, Father, how are we living? How are we going to die? Father, will it be in our sin? Will it be after having lived a life of dissatisfaction, of chasing the world and what it could give, only to find that, Father, a life has been spent for nothing? Father, I pray that those here this afternoon would understand sin, would understand that there is one God. And Father, as we have broken thy laws, all humans, every single one, has come short of thy glorious standard. Father, we pray this afternoon, Father, even the most unlikely, even those, Father, in here who might say they are Christian or have never fully made a commitment, Lord. Father, there is no grey area. Father, there is either life or death. Father, we think of the verse that I have put life and death before you, therefore choose life. O Lord, we pray. And Father, for the conversations thereafter, this meeting comes to a close. Father, I pray that we might see Jesus Christ and him only as either judge or saviour. Father, as either the way of salvation or the one who will crush us for all eternity. Father, this is not something that we can take delight in. It's not something that we might be so comfortable with and jaded that we might just shrug these things off. Father, I pray that any and all those here this afternoon might find Christ and find him Saviour, putting their faith in him, coming to the cross and seeing that our sin was laid upon him. Father, that he died that we might live. Father, I pray this for the glory of thy Son, for the glory and honour of thy name, but also, Lord, for the salvation of souls, that, Father, they might find true peace, might find that they are righteous and stand before thee as sons and daughters, adopted all through the power and blood of thy Son, Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name, whose holy and precious name we pray. Amen.